Our first scripture lesson today is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Be found in your pew Bible on page 157 of the Old Testament. And if you're using the large print, it's on page 204 of the large testament. Hear these words. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your head, on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading today is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. It's in your pew Bible on page 182 of the New Testament. And in the large print Bible, it's on page 236 of the New Testament. Hear these words. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the same who ascended far above the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of God, of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We turn to our New Testament scripture. The word, the gospel, the good news. If it is your desire to stand as we are about sharing these words, let us stand. This is the gospel of Matthew. And we turn to a most holy time. This is the crucifixion of Christ. He is on the cross. It was about noon. Darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling Elijah." And at once one of them ran and got a sponge filled with sour wine, put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink. But others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs, entered the holy city, and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Many women were also there looking on from a distance. They followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. The word for the people of God in the midst of the people of God. Thanks be to God. Bill did a beautiful job of reading. I really worked him out this morning, though. He read from Deuteronomy. Did you hear that? It's the Shema. Pronounced Shema, Shema. How many Hebrews do we have in here to help me? All right, it's the Shema. I'll pretend. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength." We've heard that somewhere. We've heard that somewhere. Where have we gone? Where have we heard that before? Somewhere I know I've heard that. How have you? They were asking Jesus, "What's the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment of all?" And he said, "The first is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." The Shema. "And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Oh my goodness, this is where it's from. This is where it's about. "Take these words, bind them as a sign on your hand, and fix them as an emblem on your forehead." You've seen pictures. And if you haven't, Google phylacteries. You won't remember that. That's all right. But you've seen devout Orthodox Jews, and they wear a little box on their forehead. And they have a box strapped. They actually strap it up here. It's not on their hand. I haven't figured out how they do that. But they wear these boxes, and in it are those words. They take it literally. In our tradition, put them on your forehead means put them in the front of your mind. The Lord, your God. Put God first in everything. Love God with all of your heart and soul, your strength, your might, your money, your time, your energy, your dreams, your aspirations. What else? What do you have? Love God completely. Children's sermon, I tried to illustrate a little bit about the difference between the saints with a capital S. In their United Methodist tradition, the Roman Catholics canonize saints, and it has become an interesting tradition. I don't know enough about it, but there are those who are being canonized. Isn't the last pope being canonized, or has he been canonized, or is that in progress? Can anybody help me with any of the... He has been canonized? Okay. I knew that was in process. And they're trying to streamline that so it doesn't take so long so they can make saints of people faster or what have you. And days are named. Each day there's a special saint that we acknowledge and we pray about. There's saints of travelers and there's saints of musicians. Who's the saint of musicians? Who's the saint of organists, Peggy? They have no ideas, either one. No wonder you two are always in trouble. You've been blessed, and we are grateful. That was beautiful again this morning. Thank you. But the little S might be for those other saints, the Eleanor Roosevelts. The non-Christian even, is it possible that Mohandas Gandhi is a saint? Mohandas Gandhi has spoken to me deeper than many contemporaries. Albert Einstein said he's such an amazing man that in generations in the future, they'll doubt whether he was real or invented. Gandhi was so different. Didn't call himself a Christian. He read the New Testament and he said, that has a lot of promise. He wasn't interested in the Old Testament as much. those saints, and that's an interesting passage in Matthew. Intriguing on All Saints' Day to read about the crucifixion. To pause and to reflect on that passage. But an important piece of that is that in Matthew's telling, and at the moment that Jesus died, the curtain of the temple is torn in two. It's a symbol. It's a symbol that that curtain that held the people behind the curtain and had the Holy of Holies behind, that's torn now. And a new way of being exists. Mountains shook, the earth quakes, the tombs spilled out saints. Well, it couldn't be the apostles because they were all still alive. All of the apostles are still alive. This is at Jesus' death. The men had fled. The crucifixion, he's on the cross. The men were afraid that they also would be killed, and they have abandoned him. They've left, and the women are left behind. God bless the women. God bless those who first saw the resurrected Christ. We are all together, aren't we? There can never be that separation. We lean on each other. And here the saints that are spilling out of the tombs. Matthew's obviously referring to those who have been faithful and who rest from their labors. That's a wonderful euphemism, isn't it? They rest from their labors. It's better than saying they're dead. It's a funny way that sometimes we need to use those words when we lose someone. They've passed. They've gone from us. They're part of our saints, but they have died. They are gone. So here are the saints. Maybe they're the little s saints. On Saints Day, we recognized, and I hope we took a moment to think about the saints who have ministered to us. We should start a tradition. Melvin, at Jefferson Avenue, they have the table. And during the service, you come forward and light a candle for the saints. Just work out the logistics of that and think about that. And take a moment to think about how we got here. We didn't just spring up. You're born and it says, oh yes, and you'll sit in the third pew on 3 from the end at Burns Memorial. Somehow that heritage has come to us from the saints that have raised us, have filled us, who have grown us, who have offered the Spirit and witness to us. Some of them are approaching perfection. Now, my dad was my saint, one of my many, I suppose, but he was the most formative. He was a quiet fellow. He was a mathematician, a scientist. He taught all the maths and sciences in school. He was a mining engineer, and he loved the great Colorado outdoors. His father had been a clergyman, and he broke from the church. He broke from the church. He says, at my young age, I took a look, and he says, the church is full of hypocrites. Guilty. And we are. And we need to recognize and be about that. But he split from that. But he raised us still. Not ever preaching to us. Not ever getting out the Bible and saying, you need to memorize this or you need to learn that. But he lived the way he walked. And he came close to that perfect walk. He wasn't perfect. My dad was a wonderful man, but he wasn't perfect. But he was getting closer. How many of you are perfect? Show of hands. Don, you want to check me on this? I'm not saying anything. Good. Welcome, sinners. That's why we're here. But we are all still moving on to perfection, yes? Yes? Because if we aren't moving on to perfection, then we're sliding backwards. And that's not all right with Christ. That's not who we're called to be. That's not how we are called to be. That's not what we're about. We are moving on to perfection. Fellow, I won't say his name, but one of the fellows this morning at church, Jefferson Avenue, he says, I was at the gym working out. He's got to be 90. And he goes like this. And he said, I was at the gym working out. And so I said, okay. And he says, they asked me if I was perfect. And I said, I'm this close. And maybe for him now it is that close. And he's trying and he's aspiring and his spirit is full and strong. I've got arthritis in this hand. I've got this knee now. But you know what? With what I have and who I am, I'm still called. That's what the Ephesians passage was about. Some will be musicians. Some will be singers. Some will be prophets and teachers. Some will be pastors. Some will be mechanics. Some will be seamstresses. Some will be cooks. Some will be truck drivers. Some will be everything is there. We are all called. We all have gifts and graces. We've all been instilled that. And out of that, we're moving on to perfection. Amen? We're moving on to perfection. Amen? All right. Keep you awake here. You think about the saints that we prayed about a moment ago. Those that have touched your lives. Think about them again for a moment. Now imagine that you could talk to them for a moment and walk up to them and say, you know, you're one of the saints in my life. What would they say to you? Most of mine would laugh and say, oh, not me. No. I think you've got the wrong person. I think your memory is as gray as your hair. Think about your saints. They didn't do it out of preaching. They didn't do it to convert you. They didn't come and proselytize you. In high school, some of the cutest women in the class, they all tried to convert us boys. Come to church with us. Come on, let me read you some scripture. Well, they were all doing a sales job that their church had taught them to do, and they drove me further from the church for a long time. They were doing it out of obligation or mechanically. The conversion comes from the heart. That piece of being authentic comes from who we are, what we are about, and living it. See, that's what my dad did. He was that Christian. One day I might get close to him and his loving and forgiving and calmness. But he showed me the right ways and he's brought me down that path. And that path, there's a problem there. Some people, I don't want to go to church. You know, if I went to church, the walls would fall and the ceiling would collapse. There would be lightning and thunder. I'm such a sinner, it'd be awful. And I usually say to them, well, join the pack. We're all there. And there's nothing that you could have done that is beyond Christ's redemption. But they want to make an excuse because they see this Christian journey as a difficult journey. Look what you have to give up. The passage that's the hardest for most people to hear is that one when the young rich man comes and Jesus says, you've done everything, but now give to the poor. And everybody says, I'm not willing to give up my money and my things and my toys and all the... That's too big a sacrifice. But it's kind of funny. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We need to hear that and understand that. He didn't say to the rich man, become poor, but use your resources. Use what you've got and what you've been given to help those who need it. That's what the saints have done for us. That's how we are who we are. That's where we've come from and where we go. Deuteronomy says it as well. It says, do these things, put the God first in your life so that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey. Aurora has immigrants. I don't know if you've noticed. I understand that the Asian community is the fastest growing community now in the United States. We're changing and growing. How exciting the diversity of color and cultures. And I met a little old couple that lived down the street from me, and she knows no English. She must be 900 years old. And I said, hello. And she goes, and I said, I'm Peter. And she goes, and that was it. Sweet as the day is long, but no English and that culture and how she's here because this is the land of milk and honey, isn't it? How many of you got up in the morning and said, amen, I live in the land of milk and honey and all life is easy? Most of us get up in the morning and say, good Lord, it's morning. We should say, good morning, Lord. There are people dying to come to this land of milk and honey. Somehow we need to remember that and remember what that's about and how we are as saints to them. As we prepare for communion, we have reflected on the saints that have gone before and those who have given us this awesome gift of faith and of place where we are, and we're grateful. But now I ask you a question. Who will you be saints for? Who will see you and say, they inspired me? Not that they preached at me. Not that they said, you should come to church and hear the pastor preach. Not that they tried to convince me of this or said, you should go see this video. It's probably worshipful or something. But those who saw in you something that instilled the Spirit in them. Who will you be saints for? And you're called to that. You are called to that and summoned to that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbors as yourself. That's all you've got to do. But there's no easy out to saying, oh, no, I can't do it. You know, I don't. Not me. Be authentically who you've been called as Christ. And be aware that you also are the saints. Called, sent, inspired. And remember that in Christ. Let's celebrate communion on All This Saints Day.